from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin for today. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and my Indonesia. We will continue our program with news in brief, Indonesian wonder, and miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo expects Kadin's support to increase export of micro, small and medium enterprises. Cooperation between Indonesia and Romania keeps increasing in many sectors. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo encouraged the Chambers of Commerce and Industry Kadin to look for new export opportunities for products of micro, small and medium enterprises in Indonesia. This was conveyed when the President was present at the closing of the 2018 Kadin National Leadership Meeting in Solo, Central Java. He said that efforts to encourage the export of Indonesian products are an essential factor to encourage Indonesia's macroeconomic development. He also pointed out that the export activities have a major contribution in building the country's healthy economy, as well as maintaining the trade balance and current account.
Please continue to explore the export opportunities that can be done by our entrepreneurs, especially our SMEs. In my opinion, the efforts to export is very important. First, I mentioned earlier, export are important in terms of our macroeconomy. Clearly, export is important for a healthy economy. Exports generate foreign exchange. This is clear. Export are important to keep our trade balance and current account better.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also hopes that Kadin can encourage the improvement of the quality of SMEs in carrying out export activities. This can be done by continuously encouraging export activities among SMEs. With the increasing frequencies of export carried out by the SMEs in Indonesia, President Joko Widodo hopes that the expertise and knowledge of the SMEs entrepreneurs can be increased so that they can compete globally in international markets. President Joko Widodo has called on the chief executive officers or CEO of companies in Indonesia to spot opportunities in line with Indonesia's increasing competitiveness in the eyes of the world. In a statement received by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, several sources said that Indonesia's global competitiveness index continued to improve, rising to 45th rank from 140 countries in 2018, as compared to ranking 47 in 2017. Indonesia's ease of doing business ranking continues to soar, occupying 72nd position in 2017 from the ranking of 106 in 2015. The surge indicates continued structural improvements. In President Joko Widodo's administration, Indonesia has also succeeded in achieving an investment-worthy rating from three of the world's leading rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, Moody & Fitch. Standard & Poor's had given Indonesia's and non-worthy investment grade rating in 2014. Diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Romania have begun since 1950. Both countries keep actively increasing the bilateral cooperation in many sectors, such as education, economy, politics, and social culture. It was stated by Ambassador of Romania to Indonesia, Valerie Kaipure in special interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday.
We have an increase of trade of 10% last year as compared to the previous year. I think that we can do more. And also it is the people-to-people contact. We have more than 10 MOUs and protocols between universities from the two countries. And I'm glad that, well, the exchanges have increased, both students and also researchers and information, lecturers, which is a very good way of knowing each other from the early ages.
Ambassador Valerie Kaipure also explained that the close relation of both countries have made a huge opportunity to explore other follow-up cooperation, such as defense, culture, and tourism. The British government is exploring cooperation in the health sector with Indonesia, especially in training and technical matters. This was affirmed by health expert from UK Healthcare Organization under the UK Department of International Trade, Chris Bourne, to the media at the British Embassy in Jakarta on Wednesday. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Chris Bourne explained that he has held a number of meetings with related stakeholders from Indonesia, including representatives from the Indonesian Ministry of Health and the Social Security Guarantee Agency, to discuss prospects and collaboration opportunities in a bid to improve the quality and efficiency of health services in Indonesia. He also met with hospitals, both public and private, and discussed cooperation with Indonesian hospitals. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Chief of Police General Tito Karnavian attended special police conference in Singapore on November 28 to 30. Press statement received by Antara News Agency on Wednesday reported that General Tito Karnavian welcomed the agenda as joint effort to tackle terrorism crimes. Even he proposed that the event can be carried out routinely as means of sharing information and best practices experience in police. He perceived that terrorism is a form of transnational crime, so it needs international cooperation in countering terrorism, and this must be improved. Therefore, the tackling requires good cooperation from all cross-border security forces. Senior economist Budiono said that the world economic condition is still prone to crisis as there are uncertainties with unpredictable trend. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Budiono at the discussion forum Winning in a Turbulent Economy in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the world economy is still prone to instability and crisis. This is inherent in the system. He stated that the crisis could arise any time and there is no one who can predict its intensity. There is no single country which has an effective method to overcome the problem. Thus, Budiono, who was the vice president in 2009-2014 period, added that efforts to strengthen domestic economy should continue to be made. This could be done through reinforcing coordination among the fiscal and monetary authorities, as well as through continuous implementation of structural reforms. He also remarks that Indonesia has institutions that can coordinate well for monetary and structural reforms. This can reduce the risk of instability or the economic crisis. Indonesian products exhibition Made in Indonesia Expo 2018 in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, was officially opened by Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia in Jeddah, Muhammad Heri Saripudin. Antara News Agency reported Heri Saripudin, while giving a speech in Jeddah on Wednesday, explained that for decades, Indonesia has not held a single exhibition to introduce the potentials of Indonesian trade, tourism, investment, and professional employees to the public of Saudi Arabia. In fact, Saudi Arabia is a captive market for Indonesian products because Indonesia is the largest sending country of pilgrims in the world, with more than 221,000 pilgrims and more than 1.2 million Umrah pilgrims per year. Heri Saripudin also remarked that the activity of Indonesia Expo in Jeddah is a golden opportunity for Indonesian entrepreneurs to be able to penetrate and expand the market of Indonesian products to Saudi Arabia, as well as the Middle East market. Meanwhile, Director General of Export Market Development at the Ministry of Trade of Indonesia, Arlinda, said that Saudi Arabia begins to make Indonesia as its main partner country. Listener, that was the news of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's topic is improving the quality of higher education to realize Indonesia 4.0. An advanced simulation technology laboratory equipped with augmented reality and virtual reality, a faculty of engineering Gajah Mada University, UGM, in Yogyakarta, was inaugurated on Wednesday. This laboratory can connect via cloud technology to three laboratories in three leading Indonesian universities, having previously attended by University of Indonesia, UIN Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB. Augmented reality is a technology that combines two-dimensional or three-dimensional visual objects into a real three-dimensional environment. Then this is projecting virtual objects in real time. Meanwhile, virtual reality is a technology that allows users to interact with the environment in cyberspace, which is simulated by computers so that users feel that they are in the environment. The integration of this sophisticated laboratory is of course inseparable from Indonesian efforts to face the era of technology 4.0. Through the laboratory, the three universities, Gajah Mada University, Indonesian University, and Bandung Institute of Technology can collaborate more closely in developing the knowledge of Indonesian future engineers, especially in the field of industrial 4.0 technology. Yes, the turn of industrial 4.0 has become increasingly familiar to the people of Indonesia lately. In fact, President Joko Widodo inaugurated Making Indonesia 4.0 in April as industrial 4.0 roadmap to increase the added value of domestic manufacturing industry so that it can compete globally. Obviously, the industrial revolution 4.0 is closely related to the improvement of human resources. In the pace of industrial revolution 4.0, the higher education sector plays a major role in supporting the nation's economy and increasing the nation's competitiveness. The universities are also expected to continue to improve the quality of higher education so that they are able to produce qualified graduates. Higher education is a formal education institution that is expected to be able to provide competent employees, and they are ready to face increasingly developing world industry along with technological advancements. Job skills, adaptability, and dynamic mindset are challenges for human resources, which should be able to acquire expertise while studying informal education at the universities. Indonesia 4.0 is expected to be achieved by Indonesian people who are qualified in science and technology. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for November 29, 1947, when United Nations issued Resolution number 181. On November 29, 1947, General Assembly of United Nations agreed plan for division of Palestine to end conflict in Palestine by issuing Resolution number 181. The plan was agreed by General Assembly of the United Nations with 33 agree, 13 reject, and 10 neutral. The plan broke Palestine in the region for Jewish and Arab, with the Greek region of Jerusalem, including Bethlehem, under international supervision. Jewish side received coastal area around Tel Aviv, region around Galilee Lake, and region of Negev Desert. Meanwhile, Arab side received remaining of Palestine, including a small enclave of Jaffa in the south of Tel Aviv. Jewish side also received around 55% of total area of land, while Arab received 45%. The next event is that in 1963, accident of Trans-Canada DC-8 Airlines occurred. Aircraft which was just taken off from Montreal to Toronto fell down on November 29, 1963, and killed 118 passengers, including 7 crews. The tragedy occurred at 6:32 of local time, around 20 miles from Montreal International Airport. Part of the aircraft debris reported dispersed until 1 kilometer from toll road. The aircraft was allegedly still burning 2 hours after the plane crashed. Music. And the last event was that in 1971, about the day of Corps of Employees of Republic of Indonesia. Corps of Employees of Republic of Indonesia, or KOPRI, is an organization in Indonesia whose members consist of civil servants, employees of state-owned enterprises, regional-owned enterprises, and subsidiaries, as well as village government equipment. KOPRI, which was established on November 29, 1971, based on Presidential Decree No. 82, 1971, is an organization to gather all employees of Republic of Indonesia. The date of this time, Mr. KOPRI, is commemorated as KOPRI Day. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia, today entitled Ministry of Environment and Forestry as Companies Restoring Peatland. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry again targets the realization of the restoration of peat ecosystems with an additional area of more than 1 million hectares through 147 plantation companies. This was conveyed by Director General of Pollution and Environmental Damage Control, Karliansa, when opening the technical guidance for preparation of documents for peat ecosystem recovery plans in the area of business and plantation activities in Jakarta on Monday, November 26. Karliansyah said, currently the Ministry of Environment and Forestry has succeeded in restoring peat ecosystems in the form of hydrological function recovery and the restoration of more than 2.5 million hectares of vegetation from 167 timber forest product utilization, industrial plantation forest, and plantations. Karliansyah added, the technical coaching program was the second stage of recovery for 147 plantation companies to jointly improve the management of peat ecosystem. Based on the decree of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry on the establishment of a map of the function of national peat ecosystem, Indonesia has 865 peat hydrological units. It covers an area of about 24.7 million hectares, consisting of 12.4 million hectares in the protective function and 12.3 million hectares in the cultivation function. The peat hydrological units are spread across Sumatra, Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and Papua. Karliansyah said, about 600 permits on the plantation had been issued. The amount will gradually get a full recovery warrant. The recovery warrant was followed up by 167 industrial plantation companies, HTI. Currently, there have been designated 8,514 manual groundwater level arrangement units and 828 automatic groundwater level arrangement units and 560 rainfall monitoring stations. Based on data on measurement of groundwater levels that has been reported by companies on a regular basis, both HTI or HTI and plantation companies in general, it shows satisfactory result.
although various improvements are made to achieve a groundwater level of 0.4 meter, as stipulated in government regulation on protection and management of peat ecosystems. By maintaining a 0.4 meter water level, peat condition will remain wet, so that it becomes an initial prevention of the potential for forest and land fires. High commitment and joint effort are needed, so that the management of peat ecosystem can be carried out sustainably in order to provide economic benefits, but also maintain the sustainability of the environment. That was My Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The British government is exploring cooperation in the health sector with Indonesia, especially in training and technical matters. Indonesian Chief of Police General Tito Karnavian attended special police conference in Singapore on November 28 to 30, 2018. President Joko Widodo has called on the chief executive officers of companies in Indonesia to support opportunities in line with Indonesia's increasing competitiveness in the eyes of the world. Senior economist Budiono said that the world economic condition is still prone to crisis as there are uncertainties with unpredictable trends. Indonesian product exhibition Made in Indonesia Expo 2018 in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, was officially opened by Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia in Jeddah, Muhammad Heri Saripudin. Listener, that was Nusin Brief, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sounds.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, we will present you about Ponco Kentang ritual from Malang. Stay tuned. Sumber Brantas Village, Bumi Aji Subdistrict, Batu, Malang, East Java, is known as the second best potato producer in Indonesia. The potato of Sumber Brantas Village is known as Kaki Langit potato, since the potato field is located on the foot of Mount Arjuna and Mount Welirang. The potato of the region is a premium quality with delicious taste. The life of the people of Sumber Brantas village always related to planting activity. Even they have their own traditional rituals before the planting, namely Ponco Kentang ritual. Ponco is a Javanese term which means planting. Therefore, Ponco Kentang is a ritual carried out shortly before planting potatoes. The ritual performed in the middle of the field, and it is usually carried out to start the potato growing season. Ponco Kentang is held to express thanksgiving to God Almighty, so that the potato plants are safe from all diseases. Usually, Ponco Kentang ritual is carried out where the potato will be planted. In its implementation, the farmer must bring some typical foods with wungkul ingkung or roasted chicken. As time goes by, some farmers carried out the ritual at their home, while some others maintain old customs and carrying out the ritual in the field. Before the ritual started, The chanting of prayers using the Javanese language offered by the elders of Sumber Brantas village. After that, the process of Poncho Kentang begins. The elders and the village community put 16 potato seeds into the soil. The amount was previously determined from the Javanese calendar, which the day of planting potatoes fell on Saturday, Pon. Poncho Kentang ritual has just been carried out by the Sumber Brantas village community on Saturday, November 24. The ritual started the Kaki Langit festival in Batu. The festival is a form of preserving the planting potatoes culture as well as establishing friendship while drinking coffee and nunu or grilling potatoes. Furthermore, Poncho Kentang will be developed to be a tourism object by the local government so that the tourists who come to Batu, Malang could see directly the condition of potato field. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for Today featuring Poncho Kentang Ritual from Malang, East Java. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition, we will present you information about Indonesia as the host of the International Culinary Expo. Stay tuned. Listeners, the 2018 SIAL Interfood Culinary Expo is scheduled to take place from 21st to 24th of November at GXPO Kemayoran, Jakarta. The SIAL Interfood is an international culinary expo affiliating with the French trade expo named Salon International de la Mination or Global Food Marketplace. This annual expo presents various stalls of food, beverages, hotel, restaurant, and cafe equipment, catering services, as well as bakery. Deputy of Industrial and Institutional Development at the Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Rizky Handayani Mustafa says that the SIAL Interfood 2018 Expo will support the development of Indonesian culinary industry as well as promote Indonesian tourism. Rizky Handayani added that the Indonesian culinary industry has developed rapidly. Nowadays, it is very easy to find restaurants or coffee shops serving modern cuisine in both big and small cities. The revival of Indonesian culinary is also reflected by the huge foreign reserves contributed from this industry, that is 30% of tourist expenditures. Expo holds a number of events in collaboration with numerous organizations, associations, as well as national and international culinary and gastronomical chefs and practitioners, such as the SIAL Innovation Award, which is the highest appreciation award given to participants with the best innovation in food products and their supporting industry like packaging. The brands which win this SIAL Innovation Award will be featured in all SIAL Interfood Expos in France, Canada, India, China, and Middle Eastern countries. Besides that, there is an event called La Cuisine Competition in collaboration with World Chefs and Association of Culinary Professionals, or ACP. It is a forum for international culinary experts and professional chefs to demonstrate and compete their cooking skills. Some other events include tea demonstration and tea brewing competition, seminar and workshop about coffee and wine, as well as business meeting among international culinary business people. This year, the SIAL Interfood 2018 targets 75,000 visitors. Last year, the SIAL Interfood 2017 was participated in by 900 participants from 33 countries and 53,000 visitors from 49 countries. That was Miss Eleni about Indonesia as the host of the annual International Culinary Expo. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Music Corner, a segment which presents information about Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will present nostalgic pop songs from Yana Julio. To initiate our segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the first song entitled Aku Masih Cinta. Enjoy the song.
Pastikan kekasih.
chose the song entitled Aku Masih Cinta by Yana Huliul. The singer with a real name, Rusiana, began his career through a singing festival in Indonesia such as Bintang Radio dan Televisi or the Radio and TV Singing Contest, the festivals of popular singer in Bogor and Jakarta. He even won some popular singing festivals of ASEAN level, namely the first winner of singing festival in Kuala Lumpur in 1988 and the second winner in Manila in 1989. Besides solo singer, Yana Huliul is also known as one of vocal group member of Alpha Singer with Agus Wisman, Lita Zain, and Uci Nurul. Well, coming up next, I will bring you another song from Yana Huliul entitled Emosi Jiwa. Happy listening. Listener, that was the song entitled Emosi Jiwa by Yana Julio featuring Lita Zain. The song became a soundtrack of film Catatan Siboy 2, which was released in 1988. The harmony of Yana Julio and Lita Zain's vocal has succeeded to conquer Indonesian music lovers at that time. The song tells about a couple lovers who ever been separated. But fortunately, they reunite again and do not want to lose one another. Listener, next I will present you a song by Yana Julio entitled Selamanya Cinta. Happy listening.
Selamanya, selamanya.
You just listened to a song entitled Selamanya Cinta by Yana Julio. The song is included in an album Selamanya Cinta released in 1995. The song tells about a man who is not able to express his sense of love and longing to the beloved one, so it makes him anxious. In 2007, a group music of D-Cinnamon rearranged the song Selamanya Cinta for a film soundtrack of Cinta Puccino. Listener, to end our music corner for today's edition, I will present you a song entitled Awan dan Ombak. The song will be dedicated by Yana Julio, featuring an Indonesian famous and talented singer, Agnes Monica. Let's enjoy the song. See you and goodbye.
Bila ku lihat awan di birunya langit berarak searah tiupan angin pagi, hatiku selalu bertanya kemanakah mereka lalu pergi. Nanti
kala ku pandang ombak di birunya laut, kejar-kejaran tak henti panjang waktu. Apakah yang mereka cari sesampainya di tepi pantai pasir?
Begitu adanya diriku dan dirimu seiring bersama memadu kisah kasih, selalu saja ada tanya, akankah semua akan berakhir indah?
Yeah.
Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia.
can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.